Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Roberto Salazar, the administrator of the Food and Nutrition Service. And joining us in our conversation is Mike Wasson. Well, Roberto, the Dietary Guidelines for Americans stress the need for Americans to manage their weight and to be fit. How serious is obesity in America today?
Well, the Surgeon General has made it clear to us that it's very serious. In fact, it's an epidemic in this country, given the fact that some 60% of American adults suffer from overweight and obesity. We're seeing the number of children and adolescents increase in overweight and obesity, some 15% of children and adolescents suffering overweight and obesity, and that continues to grow, literally, not only in terms of the statistic, but in terms of our weight and our waistlines. The consequences are dramatic and impactful upon all of us. It's not only the issue of one's appearance or the need to buy larger clothes, it's the greater expense to us as a society in terms of health care costs, for example. Some $123 billion a year in health care costs related to the treatment of obesity or overweight-related illnesses and diseases. The cost in terms of lives, some 300,000 deaths per year, again, related directly to the issues of overweight and obesity in this country. We're seeing the effects of these issues daily in terms of our costs as consumers, our insurance premiums, costs to employers, costs to healthcare providers, you name it. Ultimately, it is an illness or a disease, whatever you want to label it, that is treatable, that is preventable. And given that fact, I think we have to call attention to, as we're seeing daily and almost, I don't think there's a day that goes by that there's not some article in the news with respect to this issue. It's imperative that we take charge and take responsibility and take on the challenge of this epidemic and address the challenge of changing our dietary habits as a society, as an American people, along with a renewed understanding and commitment to physical activity.
Can you give us the history and the background of the Dietary Guidelines for Americans?
Well, the Dietary Guidelines were originally released back in 1980. I was a very young person at that time, and frankly probably wasn't familiar with what they were or what they meant, other than they were probably being introduced in the curriculum of my high school at that time. But with the intent of providing all Americans guidelines for a healthful and nutritious diet. Diet, the word thereof, has become in large measure a four-letter word in our society, because literally it is four letters, but it's developed negative connotations, and people shy away when you suggest that they need to subscribe to a diet of some sort. Let's remind ourselves that diet is simply a lifestyle. It is a manner by which one decides to obtain nutrition and live their life in terms of their health as it relates to food and nutrition and activity, physical activity. Each of us should have some form of planned diet in our lives. It doesn't mean it's about weight loss. It means it's about how we guide ourselves in terms of what we eat and how we burn the calories that we eat. The guidelines for all Americans serve in that regard. And by statute and by design, those guidelines are updated approximately every 5 years by both the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Department of Health and Human Services, with the intent of ensuring that the latest and most sound nutritional science is brought to bear on that information so that we as Americans have the latest and greatest information. It goes without saying and without controversy that the development of any recommendation from the government is always suspect in terms of how it's formulated. Who came up with these ideas, with these guidelines? Whose interests are they serving? Who might be reporting to tell us what to do and at whose expense? We're very conscious and certainly concerned about those issues and those concerns. And the latest development and release of the revised dietary guidelines, which just occurred this year, in fact, undertook a very deliberate, thoughtful, and in-depth process to ensure that the latest version of information is truly scientifically based, the latest and greatest nutritional science and information available, all keeping in mind the interests and concerns of consumers ultimately and their input, resulting ultimately in a very sound, thorough review and recommendation of dietary guidelines for Americans. The report was released this past January by both Secretaries of Human Services and Agriculture, and this report rivals any government report that you might have seen in terms of its volume. Hundreds upon hundreds of pages of detail, of scientific information that can be boiled down to some very basic elements that are scientific but also common sense.
Well, Roberto, can you tell us how the agency, when you develop these guidelines, you talk about being scientific, can you go on a little bit more about into what they're based on?
Well, yes, absolutely. One of the things that we wanted to be conscious of in the development of this process was to ensure that we had the best of the best in terms of expertise in this arena. And so this year we went through a three-stage process. And the first was a 13-member Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee, a board that drew up its report initially in this process based on the current available science, really reaching out far and wide on all the research that was available, all the information that we have on hand and available to us in terms of good nutritional science and diet. That report was released for public comment, for input, because we certainly didn't want to lead ourselves to believe that this 13-member panel, albeit the experts, alone could come up with the basis on their own, and we wanted to afford everybody who has a vested interest, who has a concern, who has input to offer their critique, their input and comment. And so we went through that public comment process and cycle to afford ourselves to get the best thinking available and logical thinking, because it is ultimately about good common sense when all is said and done. We want to be able to put forward recommendations that are logical, that are achievable, and that are doable by every American. It does us no good to come forth with complex recommendations that are inachievable. To what extent and to what end would we do that? And so to that end, we wanted everybody to have an opportunity to comment, including, and most importantly, perhaps, the public at large, consumers, individuals who would ultimately be the users of this product, of this service. Let us know, how can this product best serve you? How can it serve to inform you to live a healthy life, to choose a healthful diet, and to live and breathe in a nutritious environment, if you will? And so that was the process that was undertaken ultimately, all the while, again, and I want to stress this time and time again, based on the most sound nutrition science available.
Well, can you tell us about the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee and who is on this committee?
Well, this committee is made up of the experts reputed in various fields of diet and nutritional science, individuals who were brought to us by nomination from the public, who were screened and scrutinized for their expertise to ensure that we had the best minds available to us, individuals with expertise certainly in subject areas that are of concern to us when it comes to dietary behavior and habits and nutrition, expertise in the subjects of overweight and obesity, physical activity, cardiovascular disease, cancer, pediatrics, epidemiology, general medicine, public health, nutrition education, food safety, and technology, all these areas that collectively serve to inform a better process, a better product, and ultimately the best guidelines. And so it was a panel comprised of the experts in these subject areas that individually and alone may not have the answers, but collectively could help us achieve the answers and the best guidelines and recommendations for all Americans.
Okay. Well, Roberto, on January 12th, HHS and USDA released the Dietary Guidelines for Americans 2005. What are the key recommendations for 2005?
Well, as I suggested, the report itself is a voluminous report, and strongly recommended for your bedtime reading. For those of you who don't have a book at your bedside today, pick up a copy. It will serve as a wonderful paperweight when you're done, or doorstop, or whatever you may need. But the basic recommendations are summarized in 13 areas. Scientifically based, but as I suggest, good common sense as well. No surprise, consume a variety of foods within and among the basic food groups while preserving a level that meets your energy needs, which gets to the issue of controlling your calorie intake to manage your body weight. It's not rocket science, but it is science nonetheless. Calories in, calories out. Understand your caloric intake and what it means in terms of of your energy level and energy needs for each and every day. Be physically active each and every day. It's not just enough to monitor and control your calorie intake and your dietary intake. It's also important that you monitor and control and deliberately manage your calorie burning, your calorie utilization. And that's through physical activity each and every day. We want people to understand the importance and value of increasing the intake of fruits and vegetables, whole grains, non-fat and low-fat milk products, and the like, to ensure that people understand that those changes in dietary habit can go a long way to contributing to better health outcomes ultimately. We advise people to choose fats wisely. Understand that there are fats that are good for your body and fats that simply are not. Educate yourself, become informed about the fats that you consume and choose them wisely. Likewise, carbohydrates. There's a lot of attention around the subject of carbohydrates and low-carb lifestyles and whatever you choose to subscribe to. Just simply understand that it's about choice. It's about informed, knowledgeable choice, and choose carbohydrates wisely and understand that they are an important part of your dietary lifestyle. Choose and prepare foods with very little salt. Cut back on the sodium. Common sense stuff here. And clearly, if you drink alcoholic beverages, do so in moderation. Again, common sense. Ultimately, keep foods safe to eat. Make sure you follow food preparation guidelines to make sure that your foods are healthy for you and safe for you.
It's interesting. You give me whole new things to think about as lunch approaches. What's the President's Healthier U.S. Initiative and what role does FNS play in it? We'll ask Roberto Salazar of FNS about this when our discussion about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.